Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, Favor Media, PowerPoint Discipleship, and PowerPoint, Motivational Word. But we are giving you an opportunity on this Tuesday morning to tune in to your online Bible school as we continue our lesson in dealing with the laws of the kingdom of God. Now, as we continue to deal with the laws of the kingdom of God, we're putting them in application. I'm sharing with you that application. That's the same as what we will say. There are laws that the kingdom of God works by. And if we don't understand those laws that are govern the kingdom of God, then even as a believer, we can still live without. We can still live sick. We can still tolerate lack, insufficiency. We can tolerate a lot of things. Why? Because we have not understood the laws of the kingdom and how to apply these laws so that we would not have to tolerate the law, you know, the ways of this world system, or whatever the conditions are in my body, or whatever the circumstances may be. No, the purpose of the kingdom of God is to give us a new identity, give us a new way of living, a new way of thinking. I can be in the world, but not be of the world. And so that's the purpose of the kingdom, is so that you and I can do what? Can live in this realm, governed by different laws, different regulations, rules, if I could say that. And at the same time, we're living this life that's filled with abundance of joy, filled with abundance of peace, filled with the abundance of victory in every aspect of our walk. Amen. And so this morning, as we get back into the lesson, as we started here, went back to Matthew chapter 6 and sharing with you what the laws of the application of the kingdom of God looks like. And so we have given you various applications last week and sharing with you about healing, what healing, you know, how one is receive healing. It is not hard for us to receive healing, but it may be different for a person to retain their healing if they don't understand the laws that govern their healing, that gave them, that brought about this healing. And it's the very reason why some say, well, I left and I did feel better and I did feel good, but it came back the next day. No, the reason why it came back, because we didn't have an understanding of how, what was applied, and what my part is. Just for an example, if you get healed of anything, and when the symptom of whatever tries to come back, you say, no, you don't put that back on me. I'm not letting you put that back on me. I know I was healed, not last night, but 2,000 years ago, I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. I received what was mine yesterday, and I'm not turning it loose in the name of Jesus. And you see, therefore, what you do, you begin to rejoice. You begin to praise. You're rejoicing there, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you that you provided healing for me 2,000 years ago. And yesterday, I partook of that anointing, and I'm not giving it back in the name of Jesus. So you see, laws that govern the kingdom of God, the violent take it by force. And the Lord just been talking to me about how the kingdom of God suffered violent, and the violent take it by force. Well, I think that's something that we'll deal with next week in sharing with you, that you're gonna have to become angry. Not angry in a way to whereas with someone, but angry against the works of darkness, angry against the forces that put us in this position. And when you see that you have a right as the kingdom of God, as a child of the kingdom, you should become angry and not turn loose. Don't go to sleep what that, you know, don't go to sleep in that, you know, with that wrath, meaning this, don't turn it loose until the blood of Jesus has brought you the redemption that is rightfully yours. Whether it be healing, whether it be financial prosperity, whether it be a saved marriage, whether it be whatever it may be, whatever the kingdom made provision for you to receive, you have to take it by force. You have to become angry. To become angry, that means you got to be sick and tired of that position, sick and tired of that condition. Until you get sick and tired of it, then you won't be able to partake of the kingdom of God, because it said the kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. That's Matthew chapter 11, I think verse 12 or 13. So you're gonna have to be violent in your faith of what knowing what you have a right to. Just because these promises, we're talking about the application of the laws of the kingdom, just because they belong to you, no, they doesn't mean that they're gonna automatically work on your behalf. No, they belong to you, true. But number two, you have to apply them. And if you don't understand the laws that govern that healing, that govern that deliverance, that govern your joy, your peace, the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, then the enemy will use your head as a hat rack and hang every guilt, every condition, every condemnation of whatever on your head. Why? Because we don't understand the laws that govern the kingdom of God. And that's the reason why we're sharing this lesson about, you know, as the righteousness of God. We know that we're righteous, but then there are laws that govern this kingdom that you can walk in your righteousness or right standing with God. See, it's not enough just to say, I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That is a true fact. That's a true statement. But then to be the righteous and still suffer in my body, to still suffer with blindness, to still suffer with different condition. Look, these conditions come to us all because we're all a mortal, okay? So it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have anything come against me. Oh, I have things that come against me. But the laws of the kingdom that I use to get it off of me and keep it away from me, it's the same thing I'm sharing with you. And any teacher of the word of God that you hear that walk in divine health, you'll hear them speak in the same light. Now, they may have more light. They may have more understanding. But the point that I'm going to make to you is this, is that God will minister to you right where you are. So you don't have to live with paralysis. You don't have to live with arthritis. You don't have to live with stiffness of joints. You don't have to live with, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's. You don't have to live with things that you are fearful, afraid of because of what your family came out of. No. No, the moment you got born again, see, this is understanding the laws of the kingdom. The moment you got born again, the eyes of your understanding, that should be your prayer that it may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. See, until you understand what is the hope, well, hope in the New Testament is used as a part of your imagination. This is where you get hope gives a positive impulse, I call it. Hope gives a positive impulse to your imagination. Meaning what? When you read the word, what it does, it's giving you a different view. It's building a different vocabulary. It's giving you a new way of thinking in the identity that you already possess. See, you could have this new identity in Christ, but if you're not reading the laws that govern this new identity, this new kingship, see, that's what the kingdom is. It's kingship. It means sovereignty. It means ruler. It means walking in this authority. Well, you and I possess all of that as a kingdom child of God. So let's just get back into this lesson and look here as we were in Matthew chapter 6. And we will share with you along the line of Matthew chapter 6 in talking about how you and I should not, you know, what we call the cure for anxiety, the cure for worry. Why? Because we all deal with the same thing that everybody else in the world deal with. But because we are born of the kingdom of God, then guess what? It is no longer I that have to deal with these. It is the kingdom of which I have made myself a part of. I'm living by a different kingship. I'm living by a different rule, not a democracy, but a theocracy. That's totally different. And let me show you what I mean here. It says here again, as we look here, verse 25, it said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Notice what it said. The first thing it's telling you to do, take no thought. Now that's powerful. Take no thought for of what? Of what for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink. It said, nor yet for your body. It says, what shall you put on? Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Now, I've been reading out, this is out of the King James, but I've been reading to you out of the Amplified version here. And notice how verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually. I like that. Stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious and worried about your life. That's what the word take no thought mean in Old King James. Now, how can I, you know, because living in this life is part of worry, part of being weary. Well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for this? The utilities are gone up. The gas bills are gone up. The insurance is gone up. How are we going to do all of these different things? So you see, we all have the same cry as everybody else. But what makes us distinct? What makes us different? Because we are born again. We're of the kingdom of God. And this is what it's saying. Take no thought. You say, well, how can I not take thought? Because if I don't take thought, well, who will take thought? God. But you see, here's the point that we want to make to you. When you understand, when you say, well, people say, well, I'm a kingdom-minded person, or I live in the kingdom of God. Okay, then if you're a kingdom-minded person, that means you have exercised your thought, you have exercised your soul. Let me show you what I mean by that. Notice this verse of scripture. I don't want to quote it to you because I don't want to misquote it. But in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about what strong meat. Notice this. It says, let's start at verse 12. It says, For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Watch this. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, this is given a natural parable of teaching, you know, just like a natural baby. You can't give a natural baby a piece of steak. He don't know what to do with it. He can't, his little system has not developed that, whereas he can handle that. He don't have any teeth to chew. He hadn't eaten enough solid food for his little body to be to develop what it needs to take that down. But notice what he said here. He said, but strong meat belongeth to them that is of full age, those by reason, now watch this, listen to this, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you see, your senses, that meaning your soul, going to have to be exercised. That I can be able to discern. So when the scripture says, take no thought, or don't be easily perpetually anxious or weary for your life or whatnot, why is this telling you that? Because it's telling you that, hey, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, to those who by reason of use. See, you have to use the faith of God. You have to use the word of God to do what? To exercise your soul. Why? Because your soulless man is not going to just be receptive to these truths. Why? Because it is a custom of the natural physical world, and it wants to absorb and obtain and, you know, do whatever it takes in the physical mindset. But here, as a born-again believer, as a kingdom mind, as a person born of the kingdom of God, if you're going to use your kingdom mindset, then you're going to have to be able, you have to be one that is, as it says in verse 14, it says strong meat belong to those of full age. So there is a stage of development that you and I grow into in trusting God for the, you know, for the fullness of health, of prosperity, of victory, triumphing in everything there is. That's the reason why it's important that until that happens, you sit under someone or you connected with someone that can walk you in there, that can grow you up. It's sort of like being that belongs to a parent, I mean, to a family. You know, you just don't send your child out there with anybody, you know, or just let them know. You have your child with you. What are you doing? You're teaching them, developing them, so that when they become a full, mature age, they're able to do what? To fend for themselves, because you have established some principles in them, instilled principles in them that you believe that they're going to carry out. And if they live out those principles that you have accepted, they will have the same fruit that you have. Well, that's what the point that Jesus did. Jesus came to do what? To reinstate the kingdom of God in this original setting that the first Adam gave up. Jesus has reestablished the kingdom of God to you and I in a means that whereby when we have understanding of these truths, and what are these truths are, it's the same as Genesis 1:2. You have to learn to call those things that be not as though they were until they are. But you don't just do it just by speaking. You have to have a revelation. You have to have understanding of these truths. So when you have revelation or understanding of these biblical truths, then guess what? The word will work upon your behalf just like it worked for anyone else. It's not partial. So he said, the first thing he said, but strong meat belonging to those that what? Of full age, that one that's fully aware, fully understand what they are engaging into. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? And knowing that, hey, there will be some pushback. Because when you stand up on the word of God, laws, principles that can't be seen, well, guess what? The forces of what you can see, what you can hear, they're going to push back. Because why? It's not a custom of the laws that you're speaking from. It's not a custom of the rule of the, you know, the rules that you live by now. It is a custom to how it feels, to what it sees, to what it tastes. And here you are coming in here, you know, speaking rude, speaking from a place of a position, speaking of things that can't be seen, that can't be touched, and expect to live by. Well, the voice of feeling, the voice of reason, it's not going to be easily accepted. You're going to have to demolish some traditional way of thinking. You're going to have to uproot some old ways that you have had in the past. Because it's going, your mind is going to fight you to walk in divine health. You're not going to walk in divine health easily. You're not going to be able to say, you know, I cast this germ off my body. You follow what I'm saying? No, you're not going to be able to easily say that. Or no germ will be able to stay in my body more than 24 hours. Or you get to the place and say, every germ that touched my body must die immediately in the name of Jesus. I am not, you know, I'm not moved by the seasons that comes along that has allergy or something that, you know, messes with my immune system. No. No, my body is sealed. All sickness, all disease is turned off from my body, it's turned off from my immune system. All pain and stiffness of joint is turned off in my body. You see, that's Exodus 15, 26. I'm quoting those scriptures because I believe in that. I meditate on that. And therefore, I walk in the fruit of that. Are you following what I'm saying? So just because it's in the Bible, to be kingdom minded, again, you have to think on these things. You have to meditate on these things. And then the word itself, remember, hope is your positive impulse to your imagination. Your imagination is where you conceive. So when you speak God's word, it gives God's word paints a picture in your imagination. Your imagination begins to give you the picture because what? It has the connotation to what? To what? For conception. Words are spoken whereby you can see. Not with your natural eye, but with your mindset. And, you know, like the word apple. Well, everyone that's listening to me or will be listening to me, you can see an apple, whether it be a little apple, green apple, yellow apple, or red. But watch, I can put us all on the same page of thinking and seeing the same thing, a big, red, juicy apple. Now, you don't have a big, red, juicy apple in the front of you, I don't think. I know I don't. But I can see it in my mind. And guess what? If I think on that apple, big red juicy apple long enough, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a store or a fruit stand somewhere and do what? And do, because I conceived it, I'm going to go look for me a big red juicy apple. That's how the kingdom of God works. It works through word, but guess what? The words itself, these are promises that have to be conceived in your imagination before you are able to bring them apart, bring it together. So hope of the new covenant is our positive impulse, because what hope is? Hope is confident. Hope is an expectation. Hope won't get the need met, but hope give us an impulse whereby faith is, on the other hand, take what I'm expecting and it go to work and bring forth those things that be not as though they were. That's what God did with Abraham. I'm not talking about Abraham, but you know, I'm just using this to show you about how your senses are exercised. Belongs to those who are of full age. Are you following what I'm saying? To those who by reason, see, that have reason, have what? Have their senses exercised. To do what? To discern both good and evil. Now, why would it tell me that? Because your mind is not, your senses is not going to, you know, it's already filled with evil. It is filled with some good. But when it comes to the word of God, your mind, it's going to fight it. So when you have discernment, that means you have understanding. Amen. So to properly discern is to make sure I have what? Understanding of these truths. And so as we go back to Matthew 6, and we look down here, we stopped off about the birds. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor gather into barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them or keeps them, feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Verse 27. And he said, and who of you by worrying, being anxious, can add one cubit measure to his stature or to his span of his life? So this right here, just asking, you know, none of us can. I mean, look, Shaquille O'Neal is 7'2". Well, I don't have in me to be 7'2". So why should I be anxious about thinking that it's not in me? Oh, you follow what I'm saying here? Watch this. It says here, verse 28, and why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Meaning this, it took me a while to understand that concept. What does this mean? Well, lilies are like what we call perennial, meaning they will come back every year at this time, at the time of life, to do what? To spring forth. It's already in them. You don't have to tell a lily, you know, plant new lily bulbs or whatnot for lilies to come. No, when the season is right, remember the fruit, there's fruit in the ground itself. The seed has life in itself. The ground has life in itself. And when the time comes, activation takes place with the ground and that seed. And that seed will bring forth life of itself, because why? It's already in it. God put it in it. So it doesn't toil. Neither does it spin and say, You understand what I'm saying? Of trying to bring forth a lily. No, it's just in it. It knows what to do. It knows when to do it. What's the same thing that it's trying to use for you and I about the kingdom of God? So look at it again. Look at the birds of the air, how they don't sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barn, and yet your heavenly Father keep feeding them, and are you not worth much more than they are? And we know that we are, but because we don't have the right understanding, we have not had our senses exercised to the place to where we can discern. And that's okay. Now that you are hearing the word, now that you're paying attention to it, now that you can get understanding, say, Lord, I know I'm worth much more than a bird. But Father, help me, help my understanding, help me with my understanding how to trust you. Because that's what this is all about. Remember, we're talking about the kingdom of God. But then the laws that govern the kingdom of God, it is faith is that only currency whereby you and I have to make exchange of what grace have made provision for. So that means if I'm going to have to use my faith, then that means I'm going to have a belief that God can. I'm going to have to not only have a belief, but then I'm going to have to take that belief and trust. To trust me, I'm going to rely upon what he said. And I'm going to be confident that what he promised, he's able to bring to pass. You do not get there overnight. But it's possible that you and I can grow in this grace more and more. That's the reason why we grow little by little. Just think about a child. A child just don't grow from an infant to a toddler overnight. No, there are stages. And each year that child grows and development taking place, understanding is taking place, and you know, they're getting stronger physically, they're getting stronger in their mentality, they're getting stronger in their understanding, their surrounding. That didn't happen overnight. What's the same thing about the word? Because why? We are mortal. Your soul has not been converted yet. Your soul, when we talk about soul salvation is only to those of us who are receptive to the truth that change can take place. That's why this is just not automatic. So when we say, you know, I am born of God, I am born into the kingdom of God, but are we allowing the kingdom of God to live life through us? Because when we say to let the kingdom of God life live through us, we're talking about allowing the anointed one and his anointing to do what? To display himself through my vocal cord, my behavior, my mannerism, everything about me. And we're not going to do it perfectly. But little by little, as we grow into this grace by faith, see, faith is the hand for the exchange. And so when you say, I'm living by faith, by the laws of the kingdom, that means you have had your senses exercised. You have, that you are able to discern. Your senses are being exercised all the time because there's a force of what you do know in the natural versus what the word of God said, and you got to make a decision. And that's the reason why Romans 6:16 said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants, his servant you become, to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedient unto righteousness. See, you, meaning me, is the subject. You, me, get to make the decision to whom I'm going to yield myself servant to. That's my soul. That's my senses. So the more knowledge, the more revelation, the more understanding of a truth that I've embraced, then the more likely I will walk into righteousness, obedient unto righteousness. But what I don't understand, I will walk into sin unto death. It doesn't affect my right standing with God as a believer, because why? It's not my spirit sinning. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But it's my soulless part of me. It's my body that's displaying what my soul has already apprehended. So my body is what is actually an outward carrier of what I'm already thinking. And that's the reason how sometimes you can see what a person's thinking. You can't see their thoughts, but you can see the attributes of their thought. You know, sometimes we don't, you know, if we get a negative report, somebody can look and just say, what's wrong? What happened? Why? Because, see, my demeanor display something happened. I got a negative report or something not right. But whereas if we're living by faith, we'll take that and say, hey, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. What am I doing? I've just squashed that negative thought. I just squashed my negative feelings or circumstance. Why? Because the righteous should live by faith. That's you and I. Then remember, our lesson the whole year is about the righteousness of God. But we know that righteousness, you know, it coincides with the kingdom. So you can't walk in the laws of the kingdom without being made righteous in the eyes of God. And you're made righteous through the blood of Jesus. So you have a right. You are righteous, but to exercise that right standing, whereby fruit can be apprehended, is totally different. You'll find out that fight that you have going on. Why? Because the deeper you are ingrained in a way of living, in a way of how you carry your life, the tougher it's going to be to break the bond of that. Some things you're going to have to set yourself free from. You're going to need deliverance from by feeding on the word. You may even have to fast from something to do what? To break the power or the yoke of that thing that got you held as a hostage. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And so I don't want to put, you know, when I talk about the applications of the kingdom, I don't want to make it look like it just, you know, bump, 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 bump. No, because you're going to face your adversary. You're going to enhance the adversary like you have never have before. And most of the time it's going to come through people. It's going to come. Yes, there'll be circumstances, there'll be conditions that will arise and show up, but mainly it's going to come through people. And so you and I are going to have to learn to understand that principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, they're working through people. Just like the life of God that's inside of you and I is working through people. Amen. And so when we hear and see of something that may not be of the kingdom, then guess what? We can walk in that love. That love will permeate. That love will come forth even in the midst of someone, you know, misquoting us, wrongly interpreting what we're saying or our stand. We will not take offense. Why? You know, offense come to us all. We will not take offense because we know that if we allow that fence to fester, man, that thing will become, like a root of bitterness. And you don't want to become bitter as something that you did not know how to deal with properly. So yes, living by the laws of the kingdom, you know, it's beautiful, but you're not going to just automatically just walk in these laws. That's why you have people like me come on every day that teach the word of God. They got other men and women of God that teach the word of God. What are we doing? We're all looking for inspiration. We're all looking to hear something that will do what? That will feed our faith and starve out our doubts. That's a good thing. Why? Again, because we live in a world, a system that is governed by good and evil that came through the first Adam. Your senses, my senses, need to be exercised, like your physical body. It has to be exercised so that it can stay strong. Well, your senses have to be exercised with the word of God so that you can resist hate. You can resist sin. You can resist anything that is anti-God. You cannot resist it if you don't have your senses exercised, if you don't feed on the word of God first. You got to hear it. You got to feed on it. Healing belongs to you. Any part of your body that you are struggling with in your body or whatnot, man, you go to the word of God and you look at the redemption of what Christ said. When we say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And we're not talking about just yesterday. We're talking about something that took place 2,000 years ago. And if it was, then it is now. You just got to receive it. You got to learn how to appropriate that by faith. And that faith is that I believe what Jesus did for me. And, you know, it's a little bit more than that, but, you know, that's the beginning. And so that means you have to see yourself heal. That's the purpose of confessing the word. So if I'm going to be kingdom minded, if I'm going to apply the laws of the kingdom, then you got to see yourself heal. You got to see yourself delivered. You got to see yourself prosper. You can't allow the doctor's report to be the final report. You can't allow no one's negative report or whatever be the final outcome when the word of God under this new covenant that you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus won't tolerate pain. Won't tolerate paralysis, won't tolerate blindness, won't tolerate lack. It won't tolerate pain. No. But whatever you tolerate, you're going to be the victim of it. You'll live with it. If you could tolerate it, then guess what? You'll live with it. But when you can't tolerate it, when you have a hate for because of the truth of what the word has enlightened you, has brought understanding to you, then you grow with a hatred. You become anger. That's a righteous anger that you and I can grab hold of. That's the word of God. You grab hold to that righteous anger. And you don't turn it loose until that thing in your body has disappeared. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You don't turn it loose until it disappears. Why? Because the blood of Jesus, with his stripe, I was healed. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And you got to look at it as a curse. You got to look at it as something Jesus bore in his body for you on that tree, that you and I may be dead to sin, because that's the reason for it. It's the reason for the sickness, the reason for the disease, the reason for divorces and everything else, homosexuality, altered different lifestyle. It's because of sin. One man transgression. Not what you did. You and I are the byproducts of it. Oh, but the blood of Jesus had broken the power, had disconnect us from the thing, the verb, the action of what we carry out. Now that you have been born again, now that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you can take your life back. You can become angry. You can, when I say angry, that means because you found yourself in the Bible and you said, I've been tolerating this all my life. I've been tolerating this for a long time. And I see myself just beginning to deteriorate in this area of my walk. Whatever it is, I may not even be speaking of anything that concerns that is messing with you at the moment, but you can put it in that place and you can go to Galatians 3:13 and say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He made himself a curse for me. Galatians 3:29 say, if we be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and you an heir according to the promise? I mean, you may be struggling financially. Just go to Deuteronomy 8:18 that says, it is God that gives you power to get wealth. He's not going to give you wealth. But I mean, he's going to give you an ability. He's going to empower you. He's going to give you an idea. That means what he's already put in you. You just got to search it out. Lord, what did you put me on the earth for? Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand that, you know, I'm getting older. My best days are beyond. Who told you that? No. Your best life is right now. But you got to change your concept, your perception. You got to change your confession. You got to change your belief, because your mind is going in the direction of your belief. Let me say that again. Your mind is taking your body in the direction of your belief, of your confession. So whatever you're saying out your mouth, be mindful of people that say, well, you know, we're getting old and this hurt and that hurt and this. No. I'm redeemed. I don't let no one speak that on me. Are you understand what I'm saying? No. We live by faith. And if we live by faith, then guess what? Faith never fails. Faith never disappoints. Or you understand what I'm saying? Because faith is what Jesus did for us. Faith is what we have his faith that he's given to us of the victory he's already won for us. He's given us the faith. That faith means he's given us the belief in me. Like he told the woman, told J.R., believe in me that I'm able to do this. See? And that's where our faith is. Our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in the action of the thing we do. So, well, I believe God, so I'm going to do this. No, just because you haven't, you do something, that doesn't mean you have faith. My faith is in God. And because my faith is in God, then guess what? My faith will require some type of action, some type of stance, whatever that is. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the way you should go. Amen. Well, look, my time has come and gone, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to come with you every morning around about this time and teach the Word of God to you through our online Bible school with Grace Institute. If you enjoyed this lesson or you didn't get it all and you love to listen to it again, well, we have a podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. You can subscribe to it on your favorite podcast, whether you have an Android or you have an iPhone, Apple, or Spotify. Any podcast that you have that's available to you, you can upload this lesson at the end of it. When I'm done with it, I will upload it and you can go back and listen to it, or you can listen to anything that we've been talking about along this line about applications of the kingdom of God. So we'll pick it up again tomorrow, God willing. But we want you to know that we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. Have a great day. Bye-bye, everyone.